In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hatch.
That button. Derek, what is that?
What's the matter?
I found something weird in my pants.
Okay.
Not sure what it was. I think it was just a piece of candy that was like stuck to it, like a crumb of a piece of sugar candy.
I really don't want to pursue this line.
It wasn't in, it was like on
my
pants.
Oh, okay.
It was in the fold of like right here. I was like, what is that? And then that's
I got you.
Hi, everybody. We didn't know you were there. It's wonderful to have you here with us. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that comes with a side of wheat berry toast or our own in-house homemade cinnamon broccoli cakes. Your choice. I am Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 98.
98. We are so close.
Yes, very close.
Almost 200. And in fact, the recording is going to happen soon. We are going to have a packed house.
We are?
Yes. Well, possibly.
Who's
going to
be there?
We are going to. We are either going to be at literally the maximum occupancy or one less.
Okay. Can you tell me who's going to be there? Or no?
Well, I don't know. You think we should say? Or, I mean, I guess it's...
You can tell me off the air if you'd rather.
Okay. As far as I know.
I'm really curious to know.
Okay. As far as I know.
Okay.
I will be there.
I really hope so, because it's going to be a short session if you're not.
You will be there?
I will be there, yes.
The producer will be there?
Okay, that's three. And the capacity's 10, right?
So yes.
So seven more?
Yes.
Possibly?
Possibly.
Six or seven?
Dave of Id will be there.
Okay.
Dave of Id's wife, who has never made a presence on the show, but exists, will be there.
And she's a listener?
Yes.
Oh.
Mostly through Dave of Id, but
okay.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Beth.
Oh,
AKA
good.
Beth Prime, AKA Beth Alpha. back when she thought there was going to be another Beth, but then there was no other Beth. That Beth will be there.
Good.
Hard hat number one.
Yes.
Mark will be there.
Mark, can't wait to see him.
I believe Mark's significant other, who I do not believe listens, will be nearby.
Oh.
She may not actually be able to be present in the room because of the occupancy issue.
Yes.
How many is that?
That's four more besides the three. That's seven total.
Okay. Okay. Vermond.
Okay.
Will be there. Azertown will be there if he's up to it.
Oh, how's he feeling? Is he
fine? But he's still going through chemo and stuff, and so.
Oh.
But in general, he's been doing well. So okay. He was positive about it, but you know.
Well, I hope
you
can make it.
When you got the cancer stuff, you don't say definitely.
Yeah,
you say,
right.
If
sure,
I can make it.
Right.
And then, I don't know about participatory or anything, but we're going to have a member of the press there.
Boy, that.
He called tonight. I called him back to confirm.
Wow.
Yes. The press got interested. It seems that certain members of the press who are involved in community events and things like that, just wander around the library meeting room schedule.
But interactive media is this guy's beat, though.
Apparently, yes.
That's what he reports
and,
on.
But so it's a lucky coincidence, really.
I suppose.
Because he was just wandering around the calendar and saw that a room was reserved for a number of hours, listed as the magical talking hat. And he was, in extremely professional and non-offensive terms, moved to write and say, dude, what the fuck? But he was very nice about it. But so I told him, I was like, yeah, it's not nearly as interesting as it sounds. But he still thought it sounded interesting. So yeah, he's going to come and check it. I don't think really anything. I mean, it's going to be like a paragraph maybe on the community page or whatever.
Sure.
But he thought it was interesting. You know, 100 episodes, da-da-da-da. So be prepared if you're one of the listeners coming. There may be a reporter who might want to ask you some stuff. You don't have to. William and I are going to have to talk to him.
Yeah.
That's sort of part of the deal.
Right.
You guys don't have to if you don't want to. But he thought it might be fun to just get some stuff from some listeners too. So that's a thing.
Well, I do hope Mark's wife comes because I haven't seen her for a while.
Yes.
You know, she used to make these desserts for work.
Yes.
That were very good.
We were just reminiscing about that.
And so good that they were bad.
Yes.
So we had a nickname for
yes,
them.
Yes. I do. Mark and I were just discussing this recently. You care to?
Yes, we called her Darth Delicious.
Darth Delicious.
Because everything she
took some pride in that.
Everything she made was so good, it was bad.
Yes. She is probably largely responsible for me having diabetes.
That's a Jedi power. We didn't know that, but yes. Until we met Darth Delicious,
this
but
is
now
not
we know.
The insulin you're looking for. But yeah, no, everything she made.
Yeah, she made great stuff.
It was always ridiculous, too.
Well, and to be fair,
it was always stuff that was like, you could barely lift it off the plate. Like, no, like, light, refreshing
right.
desserts. It
no,
was always
right.
just, like, intense.
Yes, very rich.
Like,
but very good. I mean,
you would die, but die with a smile on your face.
Like, and lots of people brought stuff that were great, but the stuff she made,
well, it was just consistently intense.
Yeah.
And rich
yep.
and incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't normally like rich food at all. And I'll say no thank you even if I haven't tried it because I know what it's going to be like. But I would try her stuff and I was like, man, I just wanted to keep eating it even though it was so...
Yeah.
I could feel the sugar rushing through my body and and destroying my small blood vessels.
So that was always fun.
It was just a power sheet.
I gotta say, I'm worried though about the press being involved.
Yeah, I am too. But I'll
tell you why though.
Your...
Not probably not for the same reasons.
Okay.
I don't know. Because it's not directly that. I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with the idea of being a little blurb in the paper that people read about. Here's the deal. Mm-hmm. That's probably a good thing, and it probably means that. We maybe get some more listeners, at least temporarily, you know, and maybe we end up with like two or three new ones
maybe.
In the grand scheme. And that's what worries me. I don't, as of yet, I have no actual proof of listeners coming to this that didn't sort of know us or were close by. I mean, there are some people that came from Happy Jacks that didn't really know me, but they came from Happy Jacks. So, you know, it's a similar
right.
vibe.
Right.
And so I feel like our listeners right now are still sort of in the bubble.
Yeah.
And I worry about people from the outside world listening.
Yeah,
And I'm like, should we try to improve? And I really don't feel like that's the way to go. I mean,
I don't even improve.
Yeah.
What would we do?
Pretty much anything.
Well, that's right. Yes, just about anything we could, but
we can only go up, but I feel like we shouldn't.
Well, but
still.
I didn't mean could we. I mean, I'm sure we could come up with lots of ideas to make it better because, as you said, just about anything would make it better.
Shorter.
Yeah, but
quieter.
But we have no desire to do those things.
No.
Neither one of us.
Yeah.
For your reasons and me for mine. So,
yeah.
So, yeah. I'm what concerns me about the press being there is, well, I really don't know what it is, honestly. I can't put my finger on it. It just makes me nervous.
It makes it feel more sort of like... And I should tell the people who are going to be attending episode 100, I'm sort of getting in my head a format, as it were, and we're definitely going to hear from everybody who we want to hear from them.
Okay,
and I want to do... It's probably going to be a long episode, and I want to do at least some things out of the hat and let everybody respond.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's going to be fully interactive, partially because of time constraints and partially because we're still going to have this one mic.
Right.
And theoretically, we're all going to be at a single table, but still.
Yeah, yeah.
So there will be bits that will involve those people. Definitely, and everybody will get on the air and get a chance to talk some, but be prepared, there may be a larger portion than you're expecting where it will still just simply be like a live audience,
because
I don't know how much we can make it, you know, a 9-way podcast.
Yes, yes, right, right.
But we'll try some, and I'm still making it up right now, and I've never even seen the room, so we'll have to see how that goes.
I guess the thing that concerns me is that I don't know what to expect.
You're worried they'll make us look bad in the press?
No, nothing like that. It's I don't have any expectations whatsoever. And, you know, I think that makes me a little bit apprehensive.
And it lends it an official air that just bears no resemblance to anything we're doing here.
Right? It just seems so
it's
odd.
Like, it's like if the press gets wind of it, suddenly this is real.
Yeah.
Whereas... so far, it's been this hallucination we have going.
Ah, yeah. It's just, I don't know. There's just something odd about it. Like, it doesn't... It's not supposed to be happening.
Yeah, but I'm still very excited.
But it's not like
idea.
Anything really is happening. This guy's going to sit in, that's all.
Nothing will come of it at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, best case scenario, the guy from the paper becomes a listener.
Well, yeah,
that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah. That
nobody
would be,
else.
Which would be cool, but just... I don't know. It just... there's. It's like... this isn't supposed to be happening. This guy who is not a listener and who works for a newspaper and is there in his capacity as a reporter, that just all seems wrong.
But this is the thing we realize now. Marketing this apparently is easier than we realize. We just need to put the name of it. And if people see the phrase, the magical talking hat, someplace... there's a good chance out of sheer morbid curiosity they're going to check it out.
Yeah, I suppose.
So maybe we haven't thought this through, you know?
Maybe not.
Maybe we need to start buying ads that are just that, just the name. Nothing. Just a black screen.
Yeah.
TheMagicTalkingHat.com.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird thing.
We'll see.
I'm also a little afraid that since it's so unusual or unexpected and out of place that, you know, I'll have a hard time with it that I don't anticipate until I
get
there. Yeah,
but you, like there's a thing that people can get very, like, tense and sort of too self-aware and so forth.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they're not themselves.
Yeah.
You yourself are tense and too self-aware. So I feel like all it can do... all anything like this can do is just enhance your ability to be you.
Okay.
The phone is ringing in the background, people, so just be prepared for that. It's the guy from the paper. He's hearing this right now, and he's like, never mind. I'm out.
Well,
people from the press have that power to hear pre-recorded
stuff
as it's happening.
Well, and it gets back to the discussion we've often had about what there is even to sell about what we do. I mean... like you said, most of the people who listen to us know us, and
yeah.
So they listen, and that's probably why they do. Like Mark pointed out, and so you know, who could possibly be interested in it outside of people?
Well,
who knows
maybe
us?
That's what this will prove.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
The reporter will write. So there's this podcast, 100 episodes. Not really sure why. Not a lot that people want. So. Just thought you should know that as an interesting fun fact the next time you're out drinking.
Well, that's,
but okay, nobody should go
okay,
and
that's,
listen.
And that's another thing is you said he said something about there being a little blurb or something.
Yeah.
What kind of blurb is that? What would you say?
Just what I said. Just isn't it funny there's a podcast with this name, but under no circumstances should you listen to it.
That doesn't strike me as being news. Or,
well, yeah, none of this strikes me as being
exactly,
news.
Exactly. So I really don't... I don't know what this person thinks he's going to find out.
Well, maybe not. He says he's going to write something, but he may come and be like, wow, this has significantly less content than even I expected. So, which is fine, too. I told him, like, you know, whatever. Whatever's good.
Okay. Well,
we don't have a lot riding on this.
No, that's true. We don't. But
it's not a make it or break it thing.
Yeah.
Because we're pretty much broken, and we were never made. So, you know.
Yeah, I guess.
The worst you can do is pretty close to the best you can
do.
Yeah,
yeah. That's right.
Either way.
That's just weird.
Which means, in our case, there really is no such thing as bad press.
No. Well, no, that's true.
Yeah, so
that's true.
There we go.
For everybody.
Anyway, we should stop talking about this because we'll get to talk about it a lot at the
later,
time.
Later, yeah.
So, how was your? I guess what's it been 2 weeks? Recent weeks have really.
Yeah, it's been kind of a mess.
I've been very ill.
Yeah.
So that's been all crazy. So I don't even know how long it's been. But how has your period of time been?
I'll just mention that I did finish a first draft of the script because people were asking.
And I'm reading through it.
And I sent it to you to read, and I'll have you give me some feedback before I complete a draft that I would want to send to potential, you know,
collaborators. How close are we in the process? Should we be trolling for talent at this point?
Well, I don't... Well, I'm kind of waiting to see what you have to say about it.
At some point, you need to put together a solid cast list, and I'll start approaching people directly.
Yeah, right, right.
But I don't know if we're there yet.
Well, the thing is, what I'd like to do, and maybe I need to sort of describe this process, is I'd like for you to, you know, read it and give me some constructive feedback so that we can make a better draft of the script. And once we've done that... I'd actually like for everybody that's expressed interest in it to have a look at it, too. You know, read it through, see if it's still a project that they're interested in participating in. Give me an idea of which parts they're interested maybe in doing.
Okay.
And
this is going to take a long time.
Oh, yeah, it will. It'll take a while to get all that put together. Now, as you were saying, too, we were talking about this earlier, there are a lot of jobs to do in this.
Crazy number of jobs.
And
the sound effects and music are going to almost be more work than the dialogue.
Well, I have a friend who said he's really excited about scoring it, so that's not a...
Oh, sweet. All right.
That's not a problem. And there some of the sound effects, that's the sound engineering part of it. The editing, I think, we might be able to cover, too. The sound engineering part of it, that's going to be the tricky part, because, A, we have to find the sounds wherever we can find them. We might have to record them.
I was going to say, I think this just takes Foley.
Well, yeah, so we might have to Foley. Not all the stuff will have to be...
And most of that's pretty doable.
Right. Well, some of the sound effects, like shooting arrows and stuff, we might be able to find that stuff.
Yeah, but a lot of it is, you know, people walking,
yes,
water running,
yes, yes,
stuff like that.
Yes, yes.
Horses, like, yeah. I think it's not a lot of stuff that I'm like, Jesus, how are we going to get that recorded? Like, it's most of it's
well
stuff. And I mean, and there's some sound effects, but those are...
Yeah, yeah, and there's really nothing... When I wrote the script, I tried not to think about what was, you know, doable. I just... Write the script. Because I don't want to limit it, you know. I just write it the way I think it'll work, and then ask myself after the fact, say, well, how hard is this going to be to do? And the truth is, there's nothing in there that I don't think we could go record if we had to.
Yeah, yeah.
Not even very difficult, but time consuming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The whole thing is just going to take time.
Because, for example, there's a part where a person is riding a horse in armor. I know someone who owns some armor, and I do believe they also own horses. It would be a very simple thing to record them riding their horse with their armor on or whatever. Not a big deal. Or even to Foley with the armor or anything we need to do. I don't think it would be difficult.
I was like, dude, you give me a coconut and two cotton cans.
Well, but even something like that, if we have to, that's fine. The point is, I can imagine all of it being done, but not like, oh, we're just going to do it this afternoon.
Luckily, we're not on a time frame.
No, we're not on. We don't have any kind of a...
I will say, I don't know how much constructive criticism you're going to get from me on this one, because I did better when it was a novel. But the problem is, I really, A, I feel have a sense for, but B, I'm a big fan of your dialogue. And that's all this is.
Yeah, that's pretty much
You'll note in my history of editing your novels, very seldom was it about dialogue.
That's true.
It was often about exposition, pacing, stuff like that. And some of that could be here, but it, I mean, it's a very sort of kid story vibe in a lot of ways. And that's very easy to pace.
Yes,
and
yes.
You seem to have... I'm about halfway through, maybe a third of the way through. And I love your dialogue. I mean...
Well...
So I don't know how much I'm going to be able to give you from that.
Well, also there's... Well, there's a lot of things that you can evaluate, though, too. Like, the sound effects seem like there are enough of them. I mean, and when... For example, when I first wrote it, I didn't put any of the sound effects in. I just wrote what I thought the dialogue would be.
Yeah.
And I actually had the two people in my household read it just to see if they could get a sense of where the story was going and if the pacing was good. And, of course, there were parts that without the sound effects, they didn't even understand what was going on.
Yeah.
But that was good to know because sound effects can only go so far. And I did actually have to change the
dialogue. In some places, you might have to put in dialogue and say,
put in some dialogue.
Oh, look, he jumped out of the thing, right. And now he's on fire.
Exactly, without saying it like that. It's really, you know, the people that did this, I've listened to some old Buck Rogers radio broadcasts. Brilliant. I mean, they didn't even use a lot of sound effects or anything. But the dialogue was so natural in describing what was going on without describing what was going on. It was amazing. So it's kind of tricky, and you know, this is the first time I've ever done it to this scale. So you know, if there's anything in there that seems a little cumbersome or clunky, or if it doesn't seem to flow, or if you don't understand what's going on, the sound effects notes aren't helping you, and whatever. Because there's a particular part in the end where there's a lot of action happening, and I try not to just describe what's happening. There's going to be some sound effects, and there's going to be some response, reaction to it, and you're going to get... The listener's going to be in the dark a little bit about what's going on until certain things are said.
Well, if stuff sucks, I will totally tell you.
Well, I'm just saying there's a lot of things that you... But if you think the dialogue's fine, there's a lot of other things to say, well, this doesn't really work, or maybe the story meanders a little bit. I mean, you think the dialogue's fine, it's just a little bit makes the whole thing longer or not as interesting or whatever. So so anything you have to share in that regard, I'm interested to know. But, you know, how was your week or 2 weeks or how long it's been?
It's been okay. I was very, very sick, like I said.
Yes, that's right.
I played a lot of Fallout New Vegas.
How's that going?
I think okay. I had a little bit of a thing. So I'm in this town outside of Vegas. It's like a little sort of shanty town that has built up for the people who aren't rich and powerful enough to get into the Vegas Strip. This is all post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
And the Vegas Strip is where the powerful people hang out. And if you can't get in there, you hang out outside there. And outside there, there's a lot of shops and stuff. It's, you know, it's a video game thing, so there's lots of different stores. And there's this store that sells energy weapons.
Yeah.
And there's two things you need to know about this store.
Yeah, right.
One is, it's an energy weapon store, which means it has a whole bunch of very deadly, very expensive merchandise.
Yeah.
And consequently, security to match. It has all these guards with freaking plasma rifles hanging around. Yeah. One time... The first time I walked in there, I didn't understand that apparently there was a cutscene in the distance that I was supposed to listen to before I moved anywhere. So I stood there. There was no way to get by. So I walked by two guards, and they all just shot me dead. So,
and you didn't have your weapons because you have to check them at the guy in the outside.
Exactly, check them at the door, yes.
Yeah.
The second thing you
need to know... I
know
exactly the place you're talking
is
about.
The place is run by evil people.
Yeah.
And that comes up a lot when you're talking to people early, like, oh, they're terrible, scary, killer people and stuff. So I go here, and I go inside, and I'm playing a good person. You know, I want to be I'm playing a good but fairly practical individual.
Yeah, right.
She understands it's a post-apocalyptic world, you know, and have to deal with that. But in general, she wants to not be an asshole. So I go in there, and I can't resist, because it's there, in my dialogue options. I'm like, you got any work?
Yeah.
And they're like, yes, we do.
Yeah.
And it starts a whole quest line. And I'm like, this will not end well.
No.
Because I know they're evil.
Yes.
But right. At this point, they're like, guard the front. I'm like, okay, so you do the stupid thing. You go out in front, and they tell you the rules and stuff, and you do that. They test you, like, people come up and whether or not you let them in.
Right.
And apparently there's an option, because one dude was going to go in and suicide bomb the place. And apparently you can just let him in, and then everybody's dead, and it's over. Oh, and I'm like, that would have been interesting.
I don't remember that.
No, there's one guy who tried to, but I wouldn't let him get rid of his weapons. And so, yeah, then he would. But, so I do this, and then I go back in, and she's like, I got another job for you. You have to go make a delivery to a potential client out in the middle of nowhere. And I'm like, this is where it goes bad. And so I go out there, and I find him, and he's a little bit weird, but, you know, we're fine. We go back. I get paid. Nothing weird. And then she's like, okay, I'm going to have more stuff, but first, go talk to my brother. Now, her brother, also what I have learned in all this is that they're evil. But her brother is really, like, psycho evil.
Yeah, right.
So I'm like, okay, here's where it goes. So I go to the brother, and he says, I got a job for you. I want you to find this woman and bring her here to talk.
To talk.
Now, I know this woman. This woman came up earlier in the game. She's a woman that can be one of your companions if you want. I didn't take her with me, partially because I wasn't interested, and partially because I did it weird, so at the time I had the chance, I couldn't actually do it yet, and later I had a companion I like better. But I'm like, I know where she is, so I go there, and I'm like, you know, this is not, you know, I'm not gonna, at this point he said she wants to talk. I play video games, I know that's not how this is going down. But so I go and I tell her, and she's like, yeah, okay, I'll go talk to him. But then she doesn't go, and I can't figure this out. And I try several times, and I go back to him.
And he says she's,
I said, like, I don't think I can do this. And he's like, well, that's fine. But then it turns out he still wants me to do it. And I can't really get out of it. And then I finally figure out, apparently I have to ditch my companion and take her as a companion. Then I can take her there. So I do.
Yeah.
And so she gets there. And the guy says, great, now I can kill you. And I have a few options.
Okay.
My options are, yeah, cool, do that.
Okay.
Not so good. My next option, a little bit better, is, dude, let me get out of the way before you shoot her. A little better, but still not good. And the third option is, try and shoot her and you'll regret it. So this is what I have to take. And I take that, and he's like, oh yeah? And then we're out of talking, and the whole place wants to kill me.
Right.
And did it. Like, twice. By the third time of reloading, I finally have put some stuff together. Armor, piercing, ammo is your friend. And I did it. I killed all of them. I killed the brother and the sister. I killed all the guards. I killed all the everything. And they're dead. Like, the shop in the game is dead.
Yeah.
And I'm in a room full of the most expensive high-tech weaponry ever.
That's right.
And I can just have it. And so I picked it all up.
Yeah.
And I went upstairs, and there was more crap. And I opened up the safe, and there was more crap.
Yeah.
And I mean, I have like 30 plasma mines. I don't even know what I do with those. I have so much stuff, I'm walking the real slow walk that you do, because I can't go out. And I go outside, and the other guard was still out there, and I forgot that he wanted to kill me, but at this point, it was not a big deal. And then, running down the street was a guy trying to kill me, because the guy that they have three blocks away, who just yells about how you should go to the shop, like their barker, magically knows I've done something, and comes back and tries to kill me. But so I killed all them. So it's done. And I was a little bit worried this might have kind of broke the game. But so I read up on it, and no, it's fine. This is a thing that can happen.
Yeah.
It was a little bit glitchy, because it turns out this girl I brought here, you can do a whole quest line with her that goes around to her wanting to kill these people.
Yes, yes.
And another person.
Yeah.
So as soon as we kill these people and I talk to her, she starts giving dialogue as though that was the plan, and now we're going to go kill this other person that she's never mentioned before.
Right, right, right.
And I was like, what? And I talked to her again, and suddenly she doesn't know any of that. So it was like just a little glitch. But when I looked it up later, I was like, oh, that's why they do it. Right. So yeah, I'm going to run with that. It's kind of crazy. But yes, I killed all of the everybody. But yeah, I gotta get rid of her soon. I finally gave up on the old Mexican ghoul mechanic,
mm-hmm.
and went for Felicia Day.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, why am I not gonna go for Felicia Day?
Sure.
So yeah, I'm doing that. Haven't seen any movies I remember, but I do want to talk about one thing. I saw a TV show.
Yeah.
Just started. Mm-hmm. Called The Following.
The Following.
The Following. It's on Fox. It has Kevin Bacon.
Oh, yeah, I think I've
brand
seen...
new. Started on Monday.
I mean,
on my
I've
birthday.
Heard of it.
I don't know why. There was an interview. Nerdist did an interview with Kevin Bacon while he was filming this, and some stuff they said, it sounded like it was going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And the big thing is, it was going to be one of these, you know, dark, mysterious, conspiracy kind of shows and stuff. But he at least made it sound like it was actually going to have a set story arc.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, at the end of their season,
mm-hmm.
things would have resolved. Mm-hmm. Like, not necessarily everything, but mm-hmm. basically the story would have been told.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought we'd check it out, and the producer was interested. And so we watched the pilot.
Okay.
It's good. It's real good.
Oh, is it?
It's very compelling. It is disturbing as all hell.
Why is that?
Because it's real dark and disturbing shit. It's basically about a serial killer. Like, Kevin Bacon's trying to... The serial killer that he caught years ago escaped. And they have to track him down. And then things happen that basically involve the various people out there. He's a very charismatic and compelling serial killer. And so he has followers out there.
Oh.
That will do really disturbing stuff to themselves and others for him, and he has this grand plan of shit he's gonna do.
Hmm.
And so it's lots of violent, nasty dead bodies, and I mean, and I'm the guy who stopped watching Dexter because it was too disturbing. So this is less disturbing than that, because I'm still watching it.
Hmm.
But it's pretty fucked up.
Hmm.
So it's not for everybody in that, and it's not usually... This is not the kind of thing I would go for. I don't watch shows like this, usually. The producer's more into these, but usually if it's this sort of dark and nasty, I don't... But it's just really good. Good performances, good writing, compelling concept and story. So yeah, I think we're going to stick with it.
Hmm. Well, you'll have to keep me updated on that.
Yeah.
Not sure if it's my kind of thing.
I don't know. It's pretty heavy stuff.
Well, I mean, you know, you were just saying that you stopped watching Dexter for particular reasons.
Yes.
For those very same reasons I never started watching Dexter.
Yeah,
so it's not my kind of thing.
I found it really intriguing, and I watched two episodes, and I said, this is making me seriously, heavily sympathize with the serial killer. That ain't right.
Well, for one thing, I wouldn't sympathize. I would never sympathize with this character, so I would just be disgusted with him the whole time, and I would be...
I stopped watching Dexter because it was too good, basically.
No.
Because it did make me sympathize with a serial killer, and I'm like, not comfortable with this. And I certainly don't want to keep tagging along for this stuff, yeah. And this show doesn't have that. This show actually, at least so far, very morally unambiguous. Like, this show, we know, I mean, sometimes there's surprises. The good person was bad all along. But nobody's being conflicted here. Like, you're either bad or you're good here. It's pretty straightforward. But just very, I mean, it deals a lot with, like, Kevin Bacon, who's our protagonist, really got into the psyche of this guy and wrote a book about it later.
No.
And this guy has a really weird... Like we get a lot into what makes him tick and why he's the way he is, and as a tool for sort of a mystery.
Mm.
Consequently, what is he planning? Because
yeah.
he thinks like
right.
And it's interesting, but yeah, it's heavy shit. I spent most of the episode like this, like a couple times, Trish looks over. She's like, "Are you gonna make it through this?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." She said, "Okay," because I'm not positive I will, but I think so. And I watch more of this stuff than you. All right. So, hat?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
All right. For those of you playing the game at home, William is not wearing his sex hat. He is wearing the hat from the fake university he never went to. Okay. Don't share with the class.
Are you ready for this?
I don't know. Who's it from?
It doesn't say. But it doesn't even say anon. It's just nothing. Oh. It's blank.
That probably means anonymous.
If you had a time machine.
Yes.
And could visit any historical event.
Yes.
Which snack would you bring?
Oh.
Man. Okay, now, you should go first, because it's going to take me a while to sort this one out.
Well, basically anyone that, like, would make people think I have magic powers. Things like things stuffed into other things, you know? like peanut butter
filled
pretzels.
I don't know. I think they've been doing that. Well, maybe that one. Not that
Gobstoppers. Changes the color and the flavor on you.
Maybe. They've been doing things like that for a long time.
Really, those really sour candies? Because that would just mess with people back then. Like, have some citric acid!
Depending on when back then is. Well, yeah. Maybe that's really at the heart of the question. Does it matter which historical event you go back to?
Not if you can find the right snack food. I have always maintained that with the right snack food, you can prosper in any time period in history. I have always maintained that.
Always maintained that.
And I've dedicated most of my life to attempting to find that perfect snack food. I have not yet succeeded, but I have not given up. I feel like something like that. Like, what are just like the weird shit? I want the stuff that people in the past would, like, genuinely not be able to believe that it was food. You know, like... like fruit snacks in weird shapes. You can convince them, like, this is a little person here. And I'm gonna eat them.
No, I don't think so.
Gummy bears, you know. Look, bears! I control the bears!
No. I don't think you're giving. I don't think you.
The bear.
I don't think you're giving ancient people very much credit.
I would go back to a particularly stupid point in history, apparently. Pop rocks. Oh, pop rocks.
Well, that's something.
Oh, people get freaked out about that.
Yeah,
now.
That might be like, something. Maybe. It's iffy because, I mean, think about it. There's, you know, in times past, there were a lot of plants that...
Novelty candies?
No, like herbs and plants that people used that had pretty dramatic effects. Usually psychedelic, but, you know, other things too. I don't think people would be too surprised by any food. I really don't think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, then what's your answer, big man?
You know, the question is...
Can I have a lot of fun with a gummy rat? You can have fun with that nowadays. Put it in the right place, scare people.
I suppose.
I guess people in the past are probably less scared by rats than we are.
Well, I mean, a snack... Okay. You know, what do we mean by that? I mean, like junk food? Do we mean that?
It has to be.
Specifically. Snack. You know what?
You have trouble with food questions because you have very decided food roles.
I don't know what that's about either. But
specific meal placement or category.
The question is what would be okay if I were traveling in time? Wow, that's really close. That person was right next to your house before the sirens came on.
Apparently, they wanted to mess up the podcast.
You know, if I were traveling in time to anywhere in particular, it doesn't even matter where it is, a snack to take along would be pretty much the last thing on my mind. I'd probably be more concerned about how I was going to get along in that time period.
By sharing a snack with them.
Well, no, like, if I needed money or if I needed...
You could barter with a snack.
Well, that's the one reason I might bring a snack is if I thought it could somehow help
broker
me...
Broker peace throughout the galaxy.
Or whatever. It could be a gift that would be really great for somebody and they'd think was really neat.
All right, so...
And I can't really think.
Ferrero Rocher.
They're in... well, chocolate, if you get the right chocolate, it's a pretty big deal. I mean, I would think most people in most places, wherever you're going, whatever in time, if you gave it as a gift, told them it was food and they ate it, their response to it, I think, would be so, specific and significant that I think you could get a lot of mileage out of taking chocolate.
You really are like some sort of junkie with chocolate.
No, I think chocolate really...
That's where you come down.
Well, let me put it this way. Chocolate. Not a lot of things have an effect on me that I feel when I inject... In fact, nothing else does besides chocolate.
And nothing else you've tried.
Well, true. I've not tried any drugs or anything like that. But I have, you know, I've taken prescription medicine and I've taken, aspirin and things like that. Those things don't work on me very... well, either. So,
aspirin does not have the same effect on me as chocolate, I will admit.
Actually, no pain relievers really work on me. So I have a feeling that I don't respond to most things the way...
If you get a cut, do you rub chocolate on it?
Caffeine.
Is that what's going on?
Never had any appreciable impact on me until I took a whole bunch of it, and now it makes me feel sick when I ingest it. But before that, it didn't make me stay awake.
Seriously, if you find an injury, do you rub chocolate
on the thing? No. It's just... in my personal experience, chocolate's the only thing that's had this effect. And if it can affect me, I just have this notion that it could probably affect everybody in some significant degree, enough that if I were taking it around time traveling, that it would be something that no matter where I go, no matter what time period or what place, I could give it to somebody, and by tasting it, they could see how valuable it is, and it would be helpful in that situation.
You really want to be Willy Wonka, don't you? No, wait, you have actually come up with the answer. It's not even a matter of opinion. We know the answer to this. There is only one possibility. It has already, in fact, been done, and is of great significance. Time travel. Take along a snack food. Jelly babies.
Jelly babies?
Jelly babies.
What are those even? Oh, I think we've talked about these before, but I still don't know what they are.
Jelly babies are candy found in Britain and some other Commonwealth countries.
Yes, you've mentioned this before.
That were famously carried around everywhere by Doctor Who. Specifically, I believe in his fourth iteration was maybe the only time, but that was definitely the major time for it.
And he found this...
Carried jelly babies everywhere, had them, made them feel better, gave them to other people, including people who had no idea what they were about. They largely held the fabric of time and space together, I believe.
Mm.
And they're wonderful.
Right, but they're not chocolate.
Really,
I mean, chocolate has, like...
They are not chocolate.
Clinically proven... physiological effects.
Dude, he's a Time Lord.
Okay, but he's a fictional Time Lord.
You're a fictional Time Lord.
If I were a fictional Time Lord, I would still want a snack that had good science behind it in terms of...
No, Doctor has never been about good science.
But that's probably what I would take in for those reasons. Now, here's another thing, though. For some reason... There was an animated film not long ago called Over the Hedge or Behind the Hedge or something.
Over the Hedge.
Yeah. And in that, the raccoon, who's voiced by Bruce Willis,
yeah.
Introduces to the animals who previously lived in a forest, but now it's been developed and everything, like Doritos or some kind of thing like that.
Yeah.
And the powder on the corn chips thing was like a revelation to them. And when I saw that, there was something about that rang true to me. That if you went into a place that hadn't experienced junk food yet, and you gave them corn chips with this powder on it, this orange powder, or even the...
What about Cheetos?
You give Cheetos, that there's something about that would be really wow. I don't know
and
what that is.
They would eat it, and then their fingers would be marked and say, ha ha! You have been marked. By the Cheeto! No, bow before me! I control bears!
No, there's just something... I don't know what it is.
I'm trying to sway native primitive populations like, with my snack food.
The corn chip, I don't think, would impress them. They probably have something similar.
The corn chip has never impressed anyone, ever.
But this powder on it...
Yes.
That transforms the flavor and, like you said, gets on their fingers and they lick it off and it tastes good. Wow, that seems... That, to me, is emblematic of processed food, junk food. And I think that there would be something impressive. Plus,
let's just bring them Lick-A-Maid.
It's got to be
fun
this.
Fun dip.
No. It's not the same. Plus, most of these also have MSG in them.
Which,
like chocolate, is a clinically proven thing that people want and they get addicted to right away. So, you know, it could... But it doesn't give you the same good feeling that chocolate gives you, but you want it and you value it. So I think that would probably be another good
gain power through MSG.
Did you see the latest 30 Rock? There was a joke about Dorito powder or whatever.
There was. What?
Well, Liz, it doesn't really matter. There was some confusion about she wrote a note to the Doritos company and
it actually went to
and Jack got Jack, it but yeah. But the point she was making to the Doritos company was, why don't you sell the powder so you could put it on other things?
There you go.
Which I don't know why, but I had never thought of that myself until that moment. I thought, exactly, why don't they do that?
They do the spice. There's a really cool spice store in Chicago, and my in-laws went there a while ago, and we had been there before and got cool stuff. And what they got when they were there is they have cheese powder that is literally cheddar cheese dehydrated and then powdered.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
And you can put it on things like popcorn.
Exactly.
Wow, that's great.
And I'm like,
Well, now, think about this.
I would mix that in a glass of water and drink it.
If I were... One thing I would probably take with me if I was time traveling, if we can sort of move a little bit beyond the snack restriction, is just salt. Valuable just about all over the world for all time, and in some places really valuable.
Wow, you are lame.
What? I'm just saying. These are things.
Salt.
Yeah, salt.
Behold, salt.
It's sometimes said, and I'm not sure.
I like the MSG thing.
I'm not sure if this is apocryphal, but it's sometimes said that Roman soldiers were paid in salt, and that's where we get the word salary from that. Because salt.
I thought it's because they were paid in celery.
No. But salt is lots of places discovered the preservative characteristics of salt. And, of course, it's a nutrient. You need it. So salt was mined for years in lots of places, and it's very valuable.
Did you ever see, it was a long time ago, I'm sure they showed it in schools. I only ever knew it, I discovered it on accident a couple times, in the wee hours of the morning on PBS, like on the weekends, a thing called Newscast from the Past.
Okay.
It was a show that was a news program in the exact format. Like, there was a guy sitting at the anchor desk and the whole thing. And we had the little window next to him, and we'd have stories and on-site reporters. Set in history. Generally speaking, in medieval Europe.
So, wait, the newscaster was in our time, though.
No. It was a guy, like, in chainmail and shit.
Oh, wow.
And they would report on, like, how the Crusades are doing and stuff like this. And his bit, because, who was it, Cronkite? Or some famous newscaster would always say, and that's the way it is.
Walter Cronkite said
that. This guy would always say, and that's the way it was May 13th, 1472, was his big bit. But they would have commercials in between for things that were discovered or invented around that time. So I saw one time for glass.
Oh.
Like, in your windows and stuff. But the one I really liked is we have this dirty peasant woman missing teeth and stuff. And she's just like, my family won't ever eat my cooking. And you look and it's this spoiled meat with maggots actually crawling on it. Mm-hmm. And the husband's like, oh, spoiled meat again. And the kids are like, Oh, it's got bugs on it. But now I found this miracle seasoning, pepper, fresh from the Holy Land. And she literally takes whole peppercorns and just tosses them across the bowl of meat with the maggots and everything. And suddenly the husband's like, oh, looks good, honey. And the kids are like, yay, pepper. And I always think of that. I'm like, just throw some whole peppercorns on whatever it is. And suddenly it transforms. But it still has maggots on it.
Yeah. Well.
No, I would recommend you people find it. I'll bet YouTube has it. Newscast from the Past was a hell of a show.
There's a British show called Horrible Histories that's pretty funny, too.
Well, this one, it was education. This one's supposed to be...
Well, this one was... Horrible Histories is, too.
Oh, okay.
But it's really funny, and it's British. And that's another good one to go watch.
Yeah, salt would work. Like, that would be fun to introduce the crap early, you know? Bring the potato in before it was discovered, you know. Bring in garlic before the Crusades. That would be fun. Just to screw with people.
Well, I wonder how much it would really... I mean, the thing is...
Mostly you could open up a good restaurant.
Yeah, well...
Because you would have all the seasoning, and people are like, what is that flavor? And be like, I'll never tell.
Pretty much...
Ancient Chinese secret. And they'd say, what's China? And they'd say, never mind.
Pretty much as soon as there were enough people around on the planet, there's been trade... For long distances. I mean, people are sometimes surprised, I think, how far back you can go, and they're trading huge distances.
Okay, I think I changed my mind. Here's what I would do.
Okay.
Taking back, not a human snack food. I would take back, like the bacon strips or whatever, like dog treats that look like they're like meat.
Mm-hmm.
And I would watch people from the past eat dog treats thinking that they were real human food, and I would laugh at them. Mm. I would secretly be mocking them.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you don't know. You're eating dog treats.
And that would be funny to you.
It would be hilarious to me. Really? It's funny to me now. No, actually, now I eat dog treats. This has come up. When my niece, Bucho, who I named after the drug dealer in Desperado, Bucho, when I visited her, when she's like 4 or 5, there were these dog treats that were called pup corn.
Mm-hmm.
And they were essentially cheese puffs with no cheese. Like, they were just puffed corn things to feed the dog.
Oh.
And I saw it and I looked at it. I'm like, this is basically a treat. So I took one out and I ate it right there. And my sister's like, oh my God, what are you doing? My little niece thinks this is brilliant. So fast forward, I find this out over time. She's kind of emulating me a little bit.
Mm.
And what happened is, and she confessed to it later, when she's a little bit older and nobody's around, she tried a piece of dry dog food to be like Uncle Tony. And then later when I go to visit and she's like 8, she has saved for me those bacon strips because she wants me to try one. And I did. And it didn't taste that bad. I was a little surprised. Maybe it was the bacon strips or was it the pepperoni? I don't know. It's one of the ones that kind of looks like it might be human food. It's not that bad. I will eat a lot of things to entertain nieces and nephews.
Yeah, sure.
Including dog treats. I've never eaten a milk bone, though. And I kind of wanted to. The little milk bones that come in all the different colors and flavors.
Yeah.
I've always been curious about those.
Really?
The big ones, not so much. Although, what's the brand that covers them? There's like a coating that's supposed to be like gravy over the, like meaty bone, I think it's called.
Scooby Snacks.
Scooby Snacks. Did they have... I don't think Scooby Snacks. They made Scooby Snacks that were like actual people food.
Oh yeah,
like
I didn't
fruit
know that.
Snacks and or crap like that. And I wonder if they made Scooby Snack dog snacks.
This is really a weird conversation. Honestly,
are you telling me you've never eaten dog food?
No. Yes, I am telling you. I've never eaten dog food, cat food. I barely eat most human food. You realize
I have accidentally eaten canned dog food.
Accidentally?
Yes. Now, most people say, this tastes like dog food. And your response is supposed to be, how do you know? And they say, well, it tastes like dog food smells. I know. And I will tell you, to save you all from having to experiment yourselves, it pretty much does taste like it smells.
Yeah, big surprise there.
Here's how it went down.
Okay.
All right? Here I'm going to tell you. It's the holiday season.
Cue music.
Yes.
Jingle bells.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. I'm a young person.
How old exactly?
I'm not sure.
Estimate.
I'm between 8 and 13, I'm going to say, probably.
Sure.
I'm old enough that, you know, I don't know. My sister's basically a grown-up at this point. She may have come home from college, or she might even live on her own, or she might still be. I don't know. But she's basically a grown-up in my mind. She's about 9 years older than me. And I say she's basically a grown-up because she was making fudge, which was something that she often did. And my mother did, too, but I always thought of it as my sister's thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she made this wonderful fudge. No nuts in it, which I preferred it that way. Just plain fudge that I always thought was really good. It was soft. It was creamy. I find out over time.
There's dog food in it.
No. Oh. Yes, but there's dog food. She's been putting dog food in the fudge. And the sick, twisted pleasure. And this is where I learned it, because she would laugh at us quietly eating dog food all these years. No. I find out it's actually the Kraft marshmallow fluff. It's the recipe on the back of that.
Oh.
For that fudge.
Were you disillusioned?
A little bit. I thought it was a special family thing, but it's just, you know.
Okay.
Fucking trailer trash are making this. Anyway. Hey-o! Anyway. So my sister has been making fudge in the kitchen.
Okay.
She has largely cleaned up after this.
Oh, okay.
But there's a smudge of fudge along the counter. I see it.
A smudge of fudge.
A smudge of fudge. Just a little bit that was left on the counter. And I'm like, oh. And I go with my finger and get it on my finger.
Yeah.
In a separate tale of the same evening, I had been feeding the dog earlier, which consisted of, in our house, taking a big can of the wet dog food, scooping some out. I think we used probably about a third of a can each time.
Mm-hmm.
Taking some dry dog food and then mixing it together.
Mm-hmm.
And this process was not without its occasional messes. Some could potentially spill out. Just little bits. Say, on the counter.
Mm-hmm.
Near where somebody had been making fudge earlier.
Right.
Now, if somebody comes to you and says, I'm going to put a little dab of dog food on your finger, and I want you to lick your finger. And for some reason, you are okay with this. Hypothetically. It's not going to be good.
Probably not.
It's not going to be fun.
No.
You're going to be like, dog food.
Yeah.
But, have you ever experienced where, like, you take a swig of something, and you're expecting one thing, and it's another thing. Like, even, like, I think it's Diet Cola, and it's iced tea.
Well, they're even
I like both of them, and it's really freaky.
Even if a food, if someone prepares a dish radically differently, and it looks the same, like, maybe they put lemon in it.
Yeah.
And now it's sweet or something. It's like, or that's
you think
not right.
That's, like, 7-Up, and it's just water, and suddenly the water's really gross?
Yeah, right.
I thought this was fudge.
Yeah.
And this was dog food.
Yeah, that's a shock.
Like, that's the extreme of that.
Yeah.
And I think I maybe died. I don't remember. It was bad.
Did someone revive you then?
Presumably. Okay. I mean, I don't know for sure that I died from the experience, but I feel like that might have been what happened. Like, whatever it was very traumatic.
So what you're saying is the dog food didn't really get a fair chance because...
I suppose that is true.
You thought it was fudge.
I suppose that is true. I can't say for certain that canned dog food is awful.
No.
What I can say is canned dog food is awful when you are expecting fudge.
Yeah, well, but most things are awful when you're expecting fudge to be. Let's just be
and
fair.
It's not fudge. Yeah, yep. Of all the possible non-fudge things, it could be.
I think I've only accidentally ingested one thing in my life, and that was floor wax.
Well, that's a pretty big one. I mean, that's if you're going to go.
Yeah.
How would you do that?
Well, I was, I don't know, 4 or 5 or something. And there was a cap full of it, or not a cap, but you know those little plastic small measuring cup, you know, that you put medicine in, basically.
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Like on the NyQuil.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
There was a cup like that in the bathroom on the sink, and it had a clear liquid in it, and I must have thought
it was... Is that curiosity?
Well, I thought it was water, you know. I was thirsty. Here's a cup of water. So I drank it. It did not taste like water.
No. See?
It was pretty awful, and I don't remember if I said anything to anybody about it, or if, you know, my mom, who had only probably turned her back for a moment, you know, went back into the bathroom that she was going to wax the floor or whatever, and saw the empty cup there and knew that someone spilled it or something. So I think one way or the other, I told her that I drank it, and I had to drink a lot of milk.
Milk to neutralize.
Lots of glasses of milk.
That's probably what it said on the thing. Because even back in the day, they used to have always instructions. If your dumb kid drinks this thing. And it was big, because I remember in health class or whatever, certain stuff induce vomiting. Certain stuff do not induce vomiting.
Yeah. Well,
certain stuff drink milk. Certain stuff, I think you eat charcoal briquettes. I don't remember. Something like that.
Charcoal briquettes.
Certain stuff, just have a new kid and put that one by the curb. Like, it was varied.
Well, I don't know what floor wax would do to you. It didn't seem to do anything.
Give you a nice, smooth shine on your insides.
I guess.
You had a stomach lining you could eat off of.
I guess so. But
Which is really confusing.
I drank a lot of milk, and that was it. I don't remember having any other adverse reactions to it. At first, I thought drinking a lot of milk probably
explains the extra little head growing out of your shoulder. I've wondered about that. That's probably what it's from.
At first, I was really excited about drinking a lot of milk because that was kind of a treat in our house, really.
Seriously, you are the lamest person I know.
What?
I was really excited about drinking a lot of milk.
Milk was great. We loved
milk. Did you grow up next to the Beav and Wally?
It's interesting you bring this up because...
Nobody outside of a 1950s film strip is ever really excited to drink milk. It doesn't happen.
Why do you say that?
People like milk. Nobody's really excited to drink milk.
Well, it's not like I had it all the time. Just like, you know.
It was a special luxury.
Well, no, we would have it like at meals and stuff, but you'd get one glass. And my dad, who, you know, always, for as long as I've known him, is somewhere between 350 and 400 pounds. You know, 5 kids, you'd pour him a little glass of milk, and then you'd put the rest of the gallon right next to him, and then it was gone later. So it was kind of a big deal. But at first I was excited about it, but then after I had a few glasses, it wasn't so fun.
It's like how you get kids to stop smoking.
Kind of. But you know what?
You're going to drink this whole gallon.
You keep doing this to me with this whole thing that, there's nobody's... I think most people where I come from are very much like me.
And excited about milk.
Well, sure, whatever. Just in general.
And desperate to take salt back through time.
Mostly. Look, okay, here's how I think it works, because we've talked about this before, and I've been really thinking about this because, you know, it came up in the blog and everything, how this works. The fact of the matter is, you know, where I come from, a lot of farmers, you know, in the area I grew up in, farmers, if you don't know any farmers or never known a farmer, didn't grow up on a farm yourself, didn't have farmers as neighbors, whatever, very intelligent people, really smart, and they know a lot of things, they do a lot of things. I mean, running a farm is such a huge, complex thing. You've got to be especially if you grow plants and you raise animals, you've got to be a botanist and a biologist and a veterinarian, and you've got to be an accountant, and you've got to be able to market your product. There's just so many complex things in running a farm, and And these guys know things that you wouldn't expect a person, any person needs to know, much less a farmer. But they're very, very practical people. Okay? So this is the world I grew up in, and I fit in there actually very well when I go home. And you know, you say I'm so weird and everything, but I'm not. This is the way people are back where I come from. But I am different from them in one...
I was going to say, if I ask most of those people, I think they think you're weird.
Well, yes, but only in a specific respect.
Your love of milk.
No. The fact is, there are some things I'm interested in, or that I feel like are important, that they, not so much. I mean, it seems trivial or not important. They're very practical people now. You know, things either work or they don't work. If it's not broke, don't fix it, blah, blah, blah. But, you know,
I believe the saying is, if it ain't broke,
yeah, whatever. But
don't fix it.
But the thing is, I'm interested in, you know, like this radio play I'm writing, and I'm sending you the script, and we might do this.
Not so many farmers into the radio drama production?
Well, probably not. You know, they'd look at this and they'd say, okay, that's interesting, but so what? And, you know, what can I say? If it doesn't interest them, or if they don't think it's important, it's not. But that's really the only thing that is different about me, and all of the things that kind of come from it. You know, I have certain other political views that not so much that they would disagree with, but that they don't see that they're being very important.
So you're just sort of a fish out of water, as it
were.
No.
I knew you were going to say that. See, here's the weird thing. When I came to the University of Iowa in 1987, it was very common for the people who went to school here, some of them who were even from Iowa, to call other people, as an insult, to call them farmer. It was like an insult to call somebody that,
which I
thought was really strange, because we're in Iowa, and a lot of you are Iowans, and some of you grew up in rural towns and probably even on farms, and you're calling each other farmers an insult, which doesn't make any sense, because you know that farmers are very smart, very sophisticated people. So, and I totally related to where I came from and all that stuff, but I also knew that the whole reason I was at the University of Iowa was because I had interests and concerns that didn't fit in where I was from. But it's not a fish out of water thing. I knew you were going to say that. It's more of a... The thing is, I belong there more than I belong here. But I just have things I want to do that I have to be somewhere like here to do, if that makes any sense. Because for those of you who don't know, Iowa City is kind of a unique place in Iowa. I mean, it's... I think we've talked about this before. It's largely considered...
It's the countercultural capital of Iowa.
Right.
It's where all the hippies hang out. It's where all the gays are.
And
it's all that jazz.
And when I come here, a lot of people here can understand the things I'm interested in, the things I want to do. But what they don't understand is why I still hold on to all that farmer crap. And that's where I think I run into issues with you, is... You get me up to a point because, yeah, the University of Iowa, oh, you've got these certain beliefs and whatever, but you still have all this farmer baggage. What's up with that? And to me, it's not two separate things. It's all one thing. The people back where I come from, they would probably look at the things I do and the things I believe in as taking the things I learned there among them and as taking it to a logical extreme. I mean, they understand it. They just think, well, you just don't have to. You don't have to go that far with it. Does that make any sense? Probably not.
It sounds pretty weird to me.
No, like, for example, I learned there, not just from my parents, but from everybody, that you respect other people and that you know everybody should be treated. You know, if you're going to do, especially under the law, everyone should be treated the same under the law. And so, therefore, I feel like okay, then if straight people can get married, gay people should be able to get married. Now, a lot of people where I come from would actually agree with that, but some of them would think, well, now you're taking it too far. You see what I'm saying? But the basic idea and the principles behind it are the same.
Yes, but you're trying to prove why I think you're weird. So it only works if you start coming up with stuff that I don't also agree with.
Well, but...
Because I don't think you... believing that all people should be treated fairly.
No, I know, but
is weird.
I know. That's right, but there are other things like like my my general optimism about people, or an expectation that people are going to behave in a rational or logical or good way, and then I'm really disappointed when that doesn't happen. I mean, I think you generally see that as
farmers do that a lot, do they?
Well, no, but they do expect that kind of thing from people, and that expectation, where I come from, is often rewarded. And when it isn't, of course, they're not idiots. They're not surprised or anything. But it
you
doesn't.
You are.
Well, I am, and I'm not. What I am surprised by is how widespread it is, right? Because where I come from, if someone does that, well, people just avoid them. I mean, there's still plenty of other people to talk to and do things with. Whereas here, it's like, it's not quite that way. It's like the opposite. It's like the people who want to be helpful and want to really collaborate truly, and you know, not have any ulterior motives or whatever, they're actually kind of hard to find. Most people are kind of only looking out for themselves, or if they're not at first, you know, there's only so far they'll go with you before they'll say, okay, you're on your own. And you're always trying to convince me that that's just the way people are. Like, not just here even, but like everywhere. And I know that's not true, because that's not the way people were where I grew
up. In Oz.
See, you just did it again. You keep making it sound like I come from this weird place, or I'm weird, or that I just misinterpreted what was going on where I'm from. But I'm telling you that there are places, lots of places, in the United States and throughout the world where people are good people. You know, they believe in doing the right thing, and they really don't have any ulterior. What you see is what you get. They say what they mean what they say. They are really, it would, just like any other human being, they can be compelled to do something that's irrational, and maybe even something that is not even in their best interest in some irrational, fear motivated way. But there are places where that's actually hard to get people to do that. It's not part of their everyday experience. It's an exception, not the rule. And
I would love to mock you further on this, but we're so over time that I'm just going to have to cut your
rant. Why do you want to mock me on it, though?
Because it is one of my favorite pastimes. Listeners should go to the blog and tell William how he's weird as a farmer and as a person, and really as a mammal. He's a very strange mammal, and you should tell him this. Or tell me I'm wrong, because that's also fun. go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and talk about that. Give your opinion. When there, however, remember, choose your words carefully, because I control the bears. Also, write the hat. Please write the hat. themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Again, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. You'll note I said the URL only one time and the email twice. Why is it? As much as we enjoy the commentary on the blog, it is the writing to the hat with the topics and the questions that keeps this show alive. So do that. Make it happen. We love you. Donate. I got a little off. Yeah, but you get the idea. All
well,
right.
Thanks to
go.
Whoever submitted this. We don't know who you are, but thank you
it's
anyway.
It's a wonderful, wonderful thing, because as I have always said, history is built on the backs of stack food.
Mm-hmm.
I've said that before, right?
I think so.
Yeah, okay. You're weird.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/Jay_Underberg. Thank you.